You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Laura, it's great to talk to you. Are you doing well today?
Doing well. Oh, my goodness. I have a funny grandkid story.
Oh, my. What happened?
Okay, so I took the kids to this park. Oh, actually, this reminded me of an even funnier story. Remember the park that we went to where you were teaching the kids how to roll down the hill?
Yes.
Or didn't you get really dizzy or something?
Yes. Yes. It was like senior citizens can't do what they used to could.
Oh, man. But anyways, they loved that. But anyways, now every time we go to the park, I should tell you, they roll down the hill because it is a giant hill. Yeah. So anyways, your legacy lives on even if your hill rolling days are over.
That's right.
But anyways, so we were at that park. And as you may remember, there's like a sign at the entrance that warns about coyotes.
Yes.
And so the kids are really into that. They're always looking for our coyotes when we get there. I'm not sure what they would do if they saw one, but anyway. So we were there with like 15 other kids from our school co-op. And so at the back of the park, there's this really nice neighborhood. And so the kids were running around, and there's some new readers. Most of them are like six or under. And so they came running over full speed, like completely out of breath. They were like, "Mom, you'll never believe what that sign says." I said, "What?" And said, they said, "It says that if you trespass, you'll get eaten by coyotes." I was like, "What?" And I said, we're working on honesty, you know. I said to our oldest, I said, "Okay, so it's fine if this is like a story, like something you guys are pretending. Are you pretending or does it really say that?" And Shelby was sure. She said, "No, Mom, you can go look. It says trespassers will be executed." So we went over. It turns out it was prosecuted, which I think some of the boys especially were pretty disappointed that there would be no children fed to coyotes that day. But isn't that hilarious? Oh,
and you would just love to be in their minds to see how they're picturing
processing
this happening.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that somehow then there's going to be this court scene and all these coyotes are going to come.
Coyotes just gathered. Or maybe it's like a pit like Daniel and the lions did. Who knows?
Hysterical.
Anyway, I had to tell you that. So,
oh, that's fun.
Okay, so our title for today's episode is, this is a great title, "It Is Your Very Life. Our Need for All the Bible Says About God." So tell me more.
Well, I take the title, "It Is Your Very Life," from Deuteronomy 32, which just has been a riveting passage in my life. It's right at the end of Moses' life, right as he's addressing the people of God for the last time. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to go up the mount, and God will show him the promised land, and then God will bury him up there. Mm-hmm. And so as he's wrapping up what his words are to the people, he says in verse, 45, it says, when Moses, this is chapter 32, verse 45, when Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, "Take to your heart all the words with which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law." So he's saying, all that you've heard from me, which is basically the law of God, the first books of the Bible, the Old Testament, you're to take these to heart. And then he says in verse 47, "For it is not an idle word for you." Mm-hmm. So he's saying, you know, this book of the law is not just some idle, you know, take it or leave it kind of word.
Yeah.
It says, indeed, it is your life.
Yeah, that's powerful.
"And by this word, you will prolong your days in the land which you're about to cross the Jordan to possess." And ever since I was a young man, I first read this, I just thought It's remarkable just the conviction and clarity of Moses' voice there, where he can just see and voice so clearly that the Word of God really is, in some ways, our life. And in some ways, our spiritual life is just wholly dependent upon the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it is your life. And then our need for all the Bible says about God. I have just learned through the years that if we spend our lives just sort of consistently reading the parts that we like, say like the one gospel book we like most, or the one historical book, or the one epistle from Paul that we like most, then the problem is, one, we don't learn about what all the Bible talks about. But the bigger thing is, we don't learn all that there is to learn about God.
Yeah.
Because it's in the Word of God that God is most fully revealed, especially as the Word tells us about His Son.
Uh-huh.
And so I've learned that it's just important for me to be reading the whole Bible and not just favorite parts, and for me to read that regularly.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting point. One, it reminds me of something. I heard someone speaking recently, and they were talking about how they love reading missionary biographies, and their reason for it was, she was saying that, some of these missionaries, like, knew parts of God's character that are really, like, different from, like, her personal experience with God. That they had experienced, like, all of it is true, everything was consistent with who she knew God to be, but like some of the miraculous provisions that they had seen, or different things like that, just like how much she learned from like their experiences with God. And maybe, I mean, that kind of reminds me of what you're saying here, which is like everything that's in the Bible is true, and different books kind of highlight different parts of who God is and what His character is like.
Exactly. Yeah, and we need to hear it all, and even the parts that maybe don't fit with our modern sensitivities or sensibilities.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, and I was curious. Oh, also, we should make sure to mention there is a paper that we, as usual, will be linking in the show notes. This is a great paper. So anyways, that'll be linked. But Dad, I was going to ask you, I know that for a long time, like most of the time that I was growing up, you weren't like, this wasn't something you did on a regular basis, reading through the entire Bible. So I guess what happened, what shifted in you that this is more of a consistent pattern for you now?
Yeah, I lived decades of my life as a Christian just absolutely convinced that if I ever did a like read through the Bible in a year plan, that it would just kill me off.
Huh,
and
why?
And I think I had in mind that it would just be such heavy discipline, and that, I would have to read more than just a couple of verses, it would be a lot to read, and that it would just turn my fellowship with Christ into something burdensome and something just almost unbearable, and in some ways almost like a daily dose of sawdust, just swallow the sawdust, it's good for you kind of thing. And that's the mindset I had, and I think finally, some years ago, the Spirit of God just kind of broke through my foolishness in that, and I thought, well, maybe I should try this. And I began to read through it, and I had read all of the Bible before. It wasn't that there were books I hadn't read, but it's just as I began to read through it, from kind of the beginning to the end, I began to see how good it was for me to hear all the stories and to hear all that it says about who God is, and to see how God acts in this situation and what He says about Himself in this situation, and what are the common themes that God talks about or that God works towards? And then what are the things that seem kind of unusual that maybe He's never done before? I think it just began to open up not just the history of the faith and the characters, the people that have gone before us. It did do that, but it really began to more wholly open up God to me. And I began to see how healthy it is for my soul to every year just read through the Bible again and listen again to all that it says about who he is.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I want to get back to something that you said at the beginning, because, yeah, like, practically, how do you personally, like, balance moving quickly enough to keep a view of the whole Bible, but also really dig into passages deeply? So, how do you balance that?
Well, it is tough, and I will say, I'm in those empty nest years, and my mornings are a little more flexible, and so it's very easy for me to spend, an hour to an hour and a half in my quiet time each morning, just because, you know, there's not the early responsibility with children.
Sure.
And with my job, I work every day, but I don't have to be in the office at a real early time. Yeah. And so it is easier, you know, in the stage of life I'm in, to both do like a Bible reading plan, but then also to focus in a little bit more on particular passages that you want to study a little bit. One of the things I've done in this calendar year, we're recording this right at the end of 2019, is I've been doing a chronological read through the Bible plan, where you read through the whole Bible, but it's not necessarily in the order the books are given in the Bible, but it's more chronologically.
Okay.
So I've been doing that, but then I've also been reading the devotional books that Tim and Kathy Keller have out on the Book of Psalms and the Book of Proverbs. And so I read a section out of that every day that helps me to focus in a little bit more on Psalms and Proverbs, in addition to just reading through the Bible. So,
yeah,
I do think the trick about reading through the Bible is there's no rule that says you have to do it all in 1 year. You know, most of the read through the Bible plans are kind of drawn up for a year's worth of reading, though you can find some that are divided up more over 2 years or 3 years. So I think that if you're at a time in life where you just don't have a lot of time in the mornings to give to it, you can find different ways to read through the Bible where you just slow it down. But over the course of maybe 2 or 3 years, you're still reading through all that God's Word says, not just particular parts of it.
Yeah. No, that's good. So, yeah, so like not feeling a huge burden to actually complete a plan within the 1 year. That's good. And I guess also, like, over time, as you go back to the same passages over and over, then you get that depth. It's just different, right?
Yeah. Well, and there are definitely downsides to read through the Bible plans. Like, one of the downsides is, you know, like, some days you'll have 6 chapters to read. And even if you have, you know, a significant amount of time to give to it, it's really hard to absorb 6 chapters of Scripture.
Yeah.
And so you do, you know, one of the downsides of a read through the Bible plan is you are glossing by some parts of it where you just are, you're reading through it. I'm of the persuasion that that's not a bad thing, meaning just hearing the word, even if I haven't absorbed all of it, does have a salutary effect.
Yeah.
And so I'm okay with those days where, you know, I'm reading, say, through 6 chapters of the book of Hebrews, and I'm just like, you know, God, I don't know if I'm getting 10% of this.
Yeah.
But what I am doing is I'm prayerfully reading through your word, and I'm hearing your word. And that's plenty important, I think.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, and I don't mean to, like, be repetitive, but I guess, like, really practically, how do you, like, if it's something like 6 chapters, would you, I know you said that you are doing the Keller's book and kind of like digging into something there, but do you like pick one thing from the 6 chapters and kind of like focus in on maybe like a couple of verses, or like how do you, is that something that you do, or you just listen through it?
Well, I really, you know, ask God in the passages I have to read today, please speak to me.
Uh-huh.
Like, just please help me somewhere through this.
Yeah.
To hear your voice.
Uh-huh.
And so then I read through them, and then I sit there and think, okay, what did I just hear God say?
Yeah.
And I think back through the scripture. What is it that I you know, clearly heard him say in his word to me?
Uh-huh.
And that's how I kind of come up with.
Yeah.
And I a lot of mornings I say to God, you know, God, if I don't hear you speak to me from your word today, I'm not going to be in a good place.
Uh-huh.
And I can't make that happen. I can sit down, I can open the Bible, I can read the words. I can't penetrate my heart with it. Only you can do that. So God, please have mercy upon me.
Yeah.
And speak your word to my heart. And then I read through it and listen to what he has to say to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's awesome. So what about, well, I guess you've kind of touched on this. You know, I'm going to combine this next question. Are there any other best practices that you have for reading through the Bible on a regular basis? Like, for someone who is hearing this podcast, wants to try it, any like practical tips for them? On like even things like where to find a Bible reading plan or how to do it.
Yeah, well, I think I think it's the YouVersion app. Is that what
there
that's
is
called?
The YouVersion? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. In the YouVersion app, there are 16 zillion Bible reading plans. Uh-huh. Now they're not all read through the Bible.
Yeah,
like some of them are maybe for 1 week. You know, where you're just looking at one topic for a week.
Yeah.
But you can look in there, and I think it's called Whole Bible Plans or something like that.
Okay.
And it will give you, I think within that division, the Whole Bible Plans, there's probably 30 or 40 to choose from.
Uh-huh.
I've chosen the last couple of years one it's called Chronological, and again, your passages that you read each day are in chronological order of when they happened. And so, again, it's not necessarily the order that the books appear in the Bible, but it's more in time, in chronology, how they actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, say, like, recently I was reading through the book of Acts, and so you'd get to, like, Paul's in Ephesus, and then you'd stop reading from Acts, and you'd read the book of Ephesians.
Huh. Oh, cool.
And then, you know,
oh, so it even splits books?
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely splits books.
Oh, see, I did not understand that. How interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, keep going.
You definitely get a much better feel of things. And and then even as you're reading through the prophecy books in the Old Testament, you're reading them more as they happened historically, and it can be, I think you get a much better sense of the history of the people of Israel, say, after the rule of Solomon and forward through a chronological reading of the prophets.
And so, like, would it jump back and forth between different prophets?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
See, Dad, well, I'm gonna have to try this.
You'd finish one prophet, and then you'd go to the next one that was prophesying
concurrent.
Kind of after that guy was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's really you do get a whole better grasp of kind of the historical flow of things. But again, my big thing is that's valuable, and everything else is valuable. But the most valuable thing is to look at who is God in all this.
Yeah, yeah,
and
good.
What is he doing? What is he saying? What's important to him?
Uh-huh.
And just getting that kind of sense of
uh-huh.
God. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you find a plan, and then, you know, you just prayerfully each day do it. And you know, if after a couple of weeks or a month or two, it's just not working, then it's fine to stop, you
uh-huh.
know. And maybe pick it back up. I think it was last year, or maybe the year before, I started a Bible reading plan. But I said, you know, God, I don't want to rush through this. So if I get way behind and it ends up taking me 2 years, I'm just going to let that be okay.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was a great attitude, because again, the goal isn't how quickly you read it. the goal is that you read it all.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing, and that you're prayerfully reading all that God's Word says, you know, and especially all that it says about Him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so you've been reading through the Bible for the past 8 or 10 years, is that right?
I believe that's right. I don't have an exact marker on it, but I think that sounds right.
Okay. So how has it changed you, or maybe a better question, like how has it changed the way you see God, or I guess what has been the impact on your life?
Yeah. You know, I think the impact has been this. I have a better understanding of the flow of the Bible, you know, the storyline, the people, some of the parts of the history that are a little bit confusing or have been to me, like in the Old Testament after David and Solomon when the kingdom divides and all of that and the divided kingdom. I certainly have a better flow of all that. I have a better understanding of different biblical characters and what they said and did. But one of the themes that God has, just forged in my life is the importance of having a God-centered view of life, where whatever it is in life that you're thinking about or dealing with, that you start with God and work out from Him to your particulars.
Huh.
And I think that as I have read now over and over and over again, everything that the Bible says about who God is, it both sometimes perplexes me more in terms of the parts of Him that are just, they're just really hard. You know, say like when the whole thing with Job and how he makes this deal with Satan and Job suffers greatly and then he never even explains it to Job. You know, or the conquest of the Promised Land where thousands of people are killed, and the prophets, you know, to where you read all that it says that God is, but the effect that it's had on me is it just draws me into Him even more, and it causes me to trust Him more and to want to give myself to Him more fully, because I think I better understand who He is as I've continued to read through His Word. So,
Hold on. Can you stop there for just a second? So, help me explain why that is. So, like, why is it that as you read the hard parts of God's character that, again, don't fit with our 21st century sensibilities, like, how has that caused you to trust Him more?
Yeah. Well, I think it's like this. I don't know if you remember this, Laura, but when you kids were growing up, there were probably several times, especially, you know, in your teenage years, where I said something to you like, you know, I'm your father, and I'm going to lead you in some ways that you're not going to like sometimes. And I would say, and I just want you to know, it's fine if you don't like me. But I'm not going to change. And this is the way I'm going to lead our family. And I felt like that's what I should do, but I felt like what that gave to you kids was a great sense of security. You know, to where I wasn't going to be manipulative and I wasn't going to be manipulated by you. And there was going to be constancy. And you didn't always like it. And sometimes you even were mad at it. But I think in our family, it gave a real sense of stability and security. And I think it's like that. I think, you know, God comes to us and says, this is who I am. You know, in a sense, period. And I'm not going to change. I'm not going to manipulate you. I'm not going to be manipulated by you. And yet, I'm going to be your father. And so, you know, there's some parts like, you know, either, you know, the hard parts of scripture that we read when he doesn't do what we think he should do, or in life, you know, right now I have a dear, dear friend, just a man that I hold in great regard, who is just battling hard against cancer. And I, you know, I just think, you know, surely God, you would heal this man. And yet, to this point, it hasn't happened. And yet, even in that, there is disappointment. But I know God well enough to know now that he is good. And even in the parts that I read in the Word that are hard, and even the parts that maybe I don't like at the moment, I know he's good, and I know I can trust him. And it draws me in even further into him. Does that clarify it at all, Laura?
Totally. That, yeah, that both clarifies the question and also, I mean, that's a really helpful insight in a lot of ways. So, yeah, that answers that question. Thanks. Was there something you were going to, do you remember what you were going to say after that? I think I stopped you from.
No.
Okay. It's
probably
gone.
What we said was more important. So, okay.
All right, moving on. Okay, so one more kind of practicals question. If some of our listeners just aren't ready or willing to commit to reading through the whole Bible, are there any thoughts that you have on a way that they could get like a comprehensive view with a smaller commitment? Like, I love what you were saying about not just like picking the parts that we like. How could they get a balanced view without, if they couldn't? Well, anyways, you can understand my question, right? Okay.
No, I think definitely. I mean, one thing they could do is, you know, the Bible is divided up into different kinds of books. There's the, you know, the historical books, say like 1 and 2 Samuel. There's more the poetical kind of books like Psalms and Proverbs and Song of Solomon, kind of the wisdom literature. And then there's the prophecies, there are the Gospels, there's the Acts is a historical book, there's the epistles, and then there's Revelation. And so maybe on a yearly basis, a reader could decide, I will read one selection from each of those different sections in the Bible.
Okay,
So I'll read one from the historical books, one from like the Pentateuch, the law, the first five books of the Bible, one of the historical books, one of the wisdom books, one of the prophecies, and then, you know, one of the different kinds in the New Testament. It's just a way to both experience the different kinds of writing of the Bible, but again, our goal isn't to be better literist, you know, our goal is to understand God better and to look at God as how he's presented in each of those. So that would be a great thing to do that would stretch their reading. And I wouldn't be surprised if in some of those books they don't just get caught up and decide I'm going to read the next book too. You know, like 1 Samuel, it's awfully hard to read 1 Samuel and not read 2 Samuel. You know, and so sometimes God kind of sneaky where he gets us in it, and then before we know it, we've read three books instead of one, just because it really is fascinating. And the Spirit's illuminating it to us. So I think that's one way. I think, you know, maybe doing a read through the Bible plan, but just saying to God and everybody else, if this takes me 20 years, I don't care. I'm just going to use this plan, and if 20 years from now I'm finally done, then that's fine. And so not be too bound by the 1 year part, but just this is what I'm going to do, and however long it takes me, it takes me. And, you know, my grandmother used to do that. She would keep a Bible on her kitchen table. And she and my grandfather, while he was alive, and then her after that, every morning at breakfast, they would read a portion of Scripture. And they would start in Genesis and go to Revelation. And usually it would only be one chapter. And so who knows how long it took them to read through the Bible at one chapter. But it didn't matter. You know, they just wanted to hear the whole story, you know.
That's good, Dad. Well, any final thoughts from you before I wrap us up? Like, was there anything else you wanted to make sure we got to?
No, I think it's just, you may, you know, the listeners may be like me. It's just like, good grief, that just sounds impossible. And I can understand that. I have been there. Okay. But I hope that what our listeners hear today is not, oh my gosh, one more thing I've got to take on, but almost like a, why don't I experiment with this? Why don't I pray and just say, God, I may quit tomorrow, but why don't I start today and just start reading through all that it says about who you are? And would you give me grace, Father, to just keep moving through your word and speaking to me from it? Because the goal is to know our God and Father, and to know all that it says about him, and to read it over and over again.
Yeah.
And for it to penetrate our minds and hearts.
Yeah. That's really good. Well, I think my two big takeaways, one, I have never done a chronological read the Bible plan, and actually did not understand. I thought I understood how it works, but apparently I didn't understand how it works. So I really want to try that. So that's a takeaway for me. But then also, Dad, and I know you have probably told me this a number of times, but can you say one more time, when you start your quiet times in the morning, can you say again what it is that you pray? You know, starting with like the, if, well, yeah, go ahead.
Well, a lot of times I'll pray, you know, God, I desperately need to hear you speak to me from your word today, like today. And if I don't hear you speak, I'm not going to be in a good place.
Yeah.
And so, God, I can sit down, I can open my Bible, I can read the words. Only you can penetrate my heart with it. So would you please, by your mercy, penetrate my heart with your word, and speak to me from your word, so where I walk away from this having heard you speak to me.
Yeah.
And that's just, yeah.
Yeah.
And it, and you know, and the Lord always answers that prayer, you know. So that's why I pray.
Well, that reminds me, like, our pastor recently was talking about how, just how receptive God is to a prayer asking for mercy. And I think that's, like, basically what you're articulating is, you know, God loves to answer a prayer of, like, God, please help me. I can't do this, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, thanks for sharing that again.
Oh, you bet.
Okay, well, I'm going to toss it to you.
Okay, well, listeners, it's great to be with you again. And just want to remind you, with Leadership Edge, the personal vision statement undergirds everything we do and the mentoring relationships we do with emerging leaders around the country. And that personal vision statement is, by God's grace, to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve his purposes for his glory. And we encourage you to commit to that vision with us, and each day to step forward by his grace for his glory, serving his purposes. Also want to remind you that we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we welcome you to join us and be a part of our donor team. You can go to our website, www.lead-edge.com, and top of the right page there is a donate button, and you can make a donation to Leadership Edge. We are glad you're listening, and really will appreciate your support. And Laura, I'll throw it back to you to wrap us up.
Okay. Listeners, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.